League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show, and if you heard the last couple minutes of the John Land Show, not the Mike Francesa nonsense, but there's no Sean. He has the rest of the week off, as they were informed and went on to rip Sean for, you know, the better part of 35 seconds or so, but it is what it is. He'll be back next week, so AJ will be here with me throughout the rest of the week. AJ, known comic book fan, has watched Superman, has a different opinion of one Mike Francesa, who doesn't even know who Stan Lee is, and that clip was sent to us by Dream Shake. So there is evidence that the man who has such strong opinions about comic book movies doesn't even know one of the originators of Marvel. So shout out to Mike Francesa. Watch a trailer, man. Watch some promo. I'm sure there's a commercial. You knew Green Lantern was in it. Relax. And Kirk Herbstreit co-signed. I completely agree. Keep grifting off your dog, okay? All right? I know it ain't college football season yet. You'll get to that a little bit later. That dog has passed away, but there's a new golden retriever that I guess we'll see throughout this upcoming college football season. My tangent is now over. To the show. Okay, so we had the home run derby last night, and my big takeaway from it is I'm not at the point where I care about that much anymore. I know people took issue with the timing of it. We go from watching majestic home runs and Berman going back to baseball, leaning into their sport isn't good enough to have time in between actions. Because at a point, baseball was all about popcorn and Cracker Jacks and sitting down for a ball game, no matter how long it took. But they're not catering to those people anymore. They're catering to the people who don't have the time to let baseball marinate. So even the home run derby is this timed event where we got to get these pitches thrown. We got to have the continuous action because we are catering to a group of people who don't like how we do things traditionally. So it is what it is. It also is the reason why you have a guy who's only thrown in five games in his career make the All-Star team. The Phillies took issue with it because they had a couple pitchers who they felt could have made it. One of them did make it because injury replacements and things of that nature are always a part of the All-Star festivity. So they got one of their guys in. They did not get the other. And that's why when we're doing these things for entertainment value, hell, even Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, said, hey, we got to do things to make sure we entertain the fans. And that's why Miz, as he's called, Jacob Mizorowski, is in the All-Star game. And he said, hey, the guys don't have a problem with me. They've got a problem with the process. But, hey, no one's giving me any issues. So he's good. He's there. And Dave Roberts talked about, hey, that guy is a phenom right now. We got to get him in. People want to see him. And it leads me to not care that kid had robbed that home run. Like, when we're doing things to spice up the All-Star game, if a kid wants to go back and rob a home run, I think that's better for the conversation than if he had just let it go over the fence. If you missed it, during the All-Star festivities or the home run derby, a kid made a play on the ball. And I'm sure that was just instinct. He's out there playing left, and And it's funny, he pointed out that I didn't even know where I was in relation to the fence. And that happens to actual major league outfielders too. In a ballpark they're not familiar with, they'll not understand how close the wall is. And the kid talked about it. Hey, I didn't know where I was. I was just trying to make a play on a ball. So the kid who's probably made a play on a fly ball. I don't know how old he is now, but the better part of his life at this point, considering how young he is, he just made a play. And it went viral, and people – now they count – I believe they count the home run anyway. But we need moments with the All-Star game now, right? If we all think back, like when I was a kid, I don't know if AJ would even remember. He might not have been alive at the time. When Larry Walker's standing in the box and Randy Johnson, lefty on lefty, throws the ball over his head, and Larry Walker says, you know what, F this. I'm going to turn my helmet around and bat right-handed, because who – wants to be left-handed and batting as Larry Johnson. I remember that moment. I remember Chan Ho Park maybe grooving a pitch to Cal Ripken Jr. in his final All-Star game. So give me the kid robbing a home run. Give me Miz out there pitching, despite the fact that he's only pitched in 5 major league games. Do I need another Philly in the All-Star game? Nah, give me the kid who throws really hard and see what he's got. If he gets out there, I think Dave Roberts actually said he's going to probably bring him in around the fifth inning. So the Major League Baseball game, or at least the Major League Baseball All-Star game, the one that I think people like the most, they're still trying to adapt to the new world when it comes to getting people's eyes on their sport, and they're trying, and I'll give them credit for that. Now, the home run thing, they had no control over. The kid just made a play, but I appreciate him, because then there's another thing to look at. And what are they going to do? Ban them? I mean, the All-Star game won't be back for years in that place. He'll be too old to be in that event anyway, catching home run balls or foul balls at that point, considering that it's either a home run or not a home run. So it happened. That's pretty much the gist of it. And Kyle Rowley won the home run derby. He advanced by mere inches, but eventually he goes on to win. So the home run leader wins the home run derby. I guess that makes quite a bit of sense. Now, as far as the game itself, the only Astro we might see is Josh Hader. Pena's there, Hunter Brown are there, but they're not going to play. And also, Paredes not there because of a family event. So, AJ, did you watch any of it last night?
No, I did not.
Oh, see, they were trying to do stuff to get you there, and you not even.
Nah.
Not a moment.
Nah, I was trying to, you know, catch up on a college football 26.
Understood. League, so. Understood. I got you. Understood, because there's some pressure on you in the group chat to make sure you play. if you don't know, if you weren't here last week, AJ's now part of our college football 26 dynasty, and there's some passive-aggressive texting about, hey, is the done? Are we advanced yet? And then goes, no, we're just waiting on AJ, and that's AJ's clue. Oh, okay, I guess I gotta get home and play this game. There's a little peer pressure to make sure we stay on track. The one thing you'll find out, AJ, pretty quickly, if you haven't already, some of the dudes in the chat will play 2 to 3 games a night if you let them. Like, if you were available to advance it because you played your game, they'd get 3 games in. Don't feel the pressure. Like if you just want to go out with your friends, just call out your friends. Don't play the game.
You
don't have to. If maybe you want to get a game in, that's fine. But if you don't want to get a second game in, because why? Just don't. Joe is your boss, so I get that part of it.
Right.
But I don't know how much pressure Joe's going to put on you. It's just we got a lot of people in there who apparently really like the game. But you know what they can do? They can play a different dynasty. Nothing stopping them from playing their own dynasty if they want to do that. So AJ did not watch the All-Star festivities. I don't know how much of the game I'm going to watch. Knowing that Hunter Brown's not available, maybe if I get like a notification that Hader's pitching, I might do that. And if Mizrowski's out there, I might do that. But other than that, there's not a lot of appeal. I think I'm past the All-Star game experience. But some things happened that I did check out, so we'll see, as we're in like what they would call the dead time with only NBA Summer League action as far as real sports to pay attention to. And even that's wrapping up, as I think the Rockets have one more game before their Summer League experience is done, because what they used to do is, even if you were bad, they'd give you like consolation games to play. But now, if you're not in the top 4 your summer league is over, then they just go to the semifinals and the finals, and the Rockets aren't qualifying for that because they are 0-3 now? 0-2?
Oh, I think 0-3 now.
0-3 now? Yeah. So they have one, they're going to have one more game to go before their summer league is over. Reed Shepard, I believe, is out for the rest of summer league, so we got the Reed Shepard experience, a good game against the Clippers, not so good against the Pistons. I guess the Rockets saw what they need to see from him. Speaking of Rockets, we'll get you some news regarding the Rockets yesterday, or at least it happened yesterday, at least it was revealed yesterday, that your major addition had to go through what is termed a minor surgery, but it's kind of the worst thing to hear, although it's not supposed to keep him out, at least according to the initial reporting, not supposed to keep him out when training camp hits, but you never want to hear about it. And that'll lead us into some more NBA injury news. This one, much more likely to have an effect on the season and for the Sixers, but it's not surprising considering this guy has been dealing with injuries over the course of his, like, the back half of his career. So we'll get to that. We'll get into some Texan stuff because there have been some a couple stories about the Texans to get to and how Nick Caserio continues to put the NFL in the bind. So we'll get to that as we're just getting started here. If you want to call in, you can. 713-780-3776. It's me and AJ till noon. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
And what's being termed a minor surgery, Kevin Durant had a procedure done on his thumb. It's on the left hand, not the shooting hand. He dealt with the injury during his final season with the Suns. The Rockets saw the x-rays, weren't even a little bit concerned. So it rises to the level of, oh, okay, that happened. And we move on from that. It's almost in line with where you find out, like, your rookie, if you had a first-round pick, isn't going to play in summer league. You're like, I mean, I wish it didn't happen, but it's fine if it doesn't. And in fact, if you are a Chicago Bulls fan, you wish your rookie didn't play. If you watch what happened to Noah Essengay yesterday at the hands of a Frumfrey of all people, you rather have your rookie come down with some type of hamstring injury just to avoid having to deal with that particular image on the internet for the rest of his time. For the rest of Noah Essengay's time, he will always be the guy who made that face, who got dunked on, and it will be the thing that everyone puts up anytime they want to tell you the nastiest thing that ever happened to someone. It was a summer league game between the Pacers and the Bulls. There's not a lot of meaning to it. In fact, Essengay was having a good game. He wound up scoring 21 points on 50% shooting. But when it came time to challenge a Pacer, he should have made a different decision. You know, he's 6'10". He probably is like, look, I'm going to contest everything. You're not dunking on me. But sometimes discretion's a better part of valor. You know what? I don't even need to put this up for challenge. I'm not getting dunked on.
Could have made a business move.
Yeah, make a business decision. Just don't get dunked on in the summer league. It's no reason to. You know what? You're having a good game. The Bulls know what your game is. I get it. You see this kid coming down the lane, and you want to make a play because you're trying hard. You just got to know who you're dealing with sometimes. And sometimes you got to say, you know what? I'm good here. And getting dunked on is not so bad. You got to have your I got dunked on face in control too. Because if you got dunked on in summer league or regular game, it happens. It happens to people who challenge shots. It's part of the business. But you got to figure out a way to not make that face. All you got to do is go to the Pacers' social media. Of course, they have it up. You can go certainly around Twitter if you're active there, and you'll find it. If you don't know how to spell Essengay, I get it. It's Essengue. And if you type that in, you're going to see him and his face. It's awful. Anyone who could grab it did grab it. I don't know, man. How do you recover, AJ? Do you think, because, you know, James Harden, who did he put on the ground when he was still a Rocket against the Clippers?
Wesley Johnson.
Wesley Johnson. He put Wesley Johnson on the ground.
Look, he did it multiple people.
Ricky Rubio. He did. I didn't remember his name, but you remember Wesley Johnson's name because of that happening.
Yeah.
Essanguet's a rookie. It's summer league. He didn't have it happen to him at the hands of James Harden. He had it happen at the hands of a guy who no one knows unless you're a Pacers fan. But this never goes away. It went on ESPN. It went on SportsCenter. They couldn't even get through that part of the broadcast without laughing. They had to cut to something else and do something else. It's over for this kid. I don't know if he'll be a good player, but I have my doubts now. This is one of these things that no one's going to let you forget. He better be great.
Yeah.
The only way you wipe away this stain is if he's a great player. And hopefully he gets there. But if you want to find the worst picture you could ever take, it's the shot of Noah Essanguet getting dunked on. Tough, man. Like I said, he had a good game.
It'll be mean forever.
Johnny Furphy is the guy who has ruined Noah Essanguet's career, at least so far. Johnny Furphy, he didn't play very much for the Pacers. He's going into his second year. He played for Kansas. If that name sounds familiar and you watch college basketball, he played for Kansas. So you saw him play against the Cougs if you watch Big 12 basketball. And now he will live. See, the problem for Furphy is, sure, you got the dunk, but you're not even the most famous person in the dunk anymore. You will just be the guy who did that to Noah Essanguet going forward. Hopefully both those guys go on to bigger and better things, certainly for Essanguet, because I don't know how it gets much worse. There's some things you don't want to have happen to you. And making that face, and just read all the comments, man. It's things I can't say. You can guess if you see his face. I mean, the guys in the morning said, it looks like either he's in ultimate pain or ultimate pleasure, depending on your perspective. And then you can guess the comments to follow. So that was Summer League. Noah Essanguet was the main character yesterday on the internet. And it happened in a mid-afternoon game. And not even the big arena. It wasn't even Thompson Mac. It was like the other arena. I don't even know.
Cox Pavilion?
Yeah, it was in the Cox Pavilion. It was the second arena in Summer League. The game where the place where they know they're not going to get a giant crowd. It's not where Cooper Flagg was playing. It's not where they were going to put Bronny. It's where they put the Furphys and the Essanguets of the world. And then now we have our moment in Summer League. Tough. Just tough. I don't know if you have children. I don't know if you were a person who played ball. But, you know, these are things you don't want to have happen to. And if you have kids who play ball, you never want this to be the thing that follows them around. It's just tough. And speaking of rookies, let's get to this before we go to break. Dylan Harper is a Spur. He didn't play early in Summer League, at least when the Spurs were, I think they're in part of the California Classic. He didn't play in those games. He has played in the Vegas Summer League. In fact, he made a big shot late in yesterday's game. Spurs had a, if you want to call it thrilling, considering Summer League. They had a competitive game against the, I think was it the Kings, that they wound up winning on a buzzer beater. Well, Dylan Harper's father spoke to Mark Spears about why he thought Dylan Harper being in San Antonio was good for him. And it's just another illustration why San Antonio's got to work on their branding.
I talked to his dad, man. He's super excited about him being in San Antonio because he can focus and doesn't think there's a lot to do there. So
San Antonio's got to fix it, man. Like, if you're in San Antonio, forget the Spurs, whatever. They win normally, not recently, but they're a winning organization. They can handle it. But if you're the city of San Antonio, you got to go, hey, could you just talk about you want him here because he likes Tex-Mex? Something other than our city is boring as hell, and that's why it's good for my, like, 19-year-old kid to be there. Like, no, Dylan's really loves Mexican food. And I heard San Antonio, even that's a lie. Just send the marketing promotional stuff to the parents of your prospects. So when they talk about how it's going to be good for their son, they don't mention how there's nothing to do.
You say the Riverwalk, the Alamo.
Anything.
Yeah.
No one buys the Riverwalk thing. We've all seen it in B-roll. No one believes the Riverwalk is such an appealing place, but pick something else. Maybe it's, what is it called? Fiesta Texas? Is that their amusement park there?
I think so. Yeah.
Use that. Use the Mexican food. Even say, hey, he loves historical events and he loves the Alamo. Something besides the place is boring as hell, so he'll be fine there. It is the cross that San Antonio has to bear. other than they're big old women, according to Charles Barkley. It's one of those two things when it comes to San Antonio. What I associate them with basketball is the Spurs and their level of success under Pop, the big old woman thing. And now, and the other thing is, of course, there's nothing to do there, so there's no way to get in trouble. He's a millionaire. He's going to have a lot of money. It's not exactly the place you think of to spend that money. I mean, of all the Texas cities to go to for a young player.
Houston.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. And if you're a bit more chachi, maybe you like Dallas. But San Antonio ain't the one. That's the place you go to where if you like gaming. If you like streaming, you don't like getting out of your house, San Antonio is the place for you. So maybe Dylan Harper will take on streaming as a personality as well. Okay. Dream Shake says he respects people who go out to block shots. Alonzo Mourning got dunked on quite a bit. Says he loves a guy who will challenge. I get that part. And Alonzo Mourning never made the face that Noah Essengay made. So Alonzo Mourning got dunked on by Vince Carter. It's a very famous dunk. He got dunked on by plenty of people. But he's Alonzo Mourning. We know the Alonzo Mourning face. That ain't the Noah Essengay face. That one's going to live on for a very long time. As long as that kid does anything or nothing. If he has bad games, he'll see it. Fans of teams he plays will say, I don't care what you did to me. You did this. So it'll be a thing for him for a relatively long time. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to chime in on the show, you can, just like Dream Shake did. We'll get into some Texan stuff when we come back because it's list season. So there's another list, and it lists the two most important guys for the Texans that aren't C.J. Stroud. It's a list about the entire NFL, and they always cheat and sneak another guy in because normally it's like, hey, who's the most important player that isn't your quarterback? Well, they named two guys for the Texans. They're kind of obvious. We'll get to that when we come back.
Monument Chevy.
But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Their salespeople are important, but so are the cars. The cars are the best. If you want a Chevy, that's the place you go to. It's Monument Chevrolet. You can check out all they have to offer. Their inventory is laid out for you at monumentchevrolet.com. And once you go there, you're going to see the prices, whether you want like a Blazer or Silverado or Trax, some of their EV vehicles is all out there for you. And then you can head on out to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225 and pick that car, the car of your choice, the one you're going to love. And we're entering Car Week. Car Week is pretty simple. The week of July 14th, it's this week, July 14th, the week of July 14th, zero APR on 2025 Silverado for 36 months. You got the classic Silverado 1500. That's great. And then they also have a large selection of new and pre-owned Silverado. So this week, if you're looking for a Silverado, go out to Miami Chevrolet. They're going to do Car Week throughout the month of July, but Silverados are the featured car this week. So you can check out all the Silverados on the website and then see them on the lot in Pasadena off of Beltway 8. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this comes from CBS Sports. They just list the non-quarterbacks, at least the most important non-quarterbacks for every NFL team. So you go through the list, and you'll see the Eagles. They have a couple defensive players. Lambry Tunsil makes the list for the Commanders. And if you go to the Texans, AJ, if I gave you a guess, maybe not of a player, but what position group do you think this player would come from? Most important non-CJ Stroud Texan.
I'll say edge, probably.
Those are two of your best players, but as far as they're concerned, your most important are the guys protecting C.J. Stroud. Oh, yeah. Blake Fisher, Cam Robinson, they gave us two as opposed to just the one. They mentioned them both as the two guys who have to be, let's just say, above par if this season needs to go the way, if the season's going to go the way we want it to go for the Texans. So it's been a running theme throughout. What is this Texan O-line going to be? I mentioned Lambry Tunsil. That's one of the reasons people have questions. Look, they're bad last year. We know. And they did not improve talent-wise. But They have a new scheme. They have a new, well, he was there, but he's now the boss. They have a new O-line coach. So the Texans are not concerned. Jokingly, we play the sound from Nick Caserio quite a bit. He's not concerned. D'Amico's not concerned. So why should you be concerned? Well, I'm concerned because the guys you chose weren't good in their last spots. Blake Fisher was here last year. He makes the list along with Cam Robinson. And Blake Fisher is a guy who is another lineman they take early. Like Arante Ursary, who's currently not a holdout yet because training camp hasn't begun. But he's well on his way to becoming one. Not that he's unique. The story is out there certainly for people. There are 30 second-round picks who are not signed because of partly what the Texans did when they gave their own second rounder, at least one of their second rounders, guaranteed money. They did not fully guarantee money for his entirety of the contract. They did not do that for Ursary so far, so he is holding out. But this is, I guess, in his case, because he's further down, that he's not going to take a deal before the guys above him do, and it'll just trickle down. So the guys that come behind Higgins will take a deal. Jaden Higgins will take a deal, and then that will just domino until it's time for the guys in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s of the second round to take their deals. So why jump out there first? Just see where you slot. I'm sure it'll all come down the slotting just like it always has, but you just need the first agent and the first team to agree. And until that happens, I guess we're at a standstill. So as we get closer and closer, I think we're, what, about a week away from training camp starting?
Yeah.
You would think for an offensive lineman who is a bit of a project, getting him into camp as quickly as possible is best, but the finances of the NFL suggest, and partly because his own general manager did it, that he's going to wait it out. So maybe we don't see him for a little bit as those deals come down the pipe. So it'll be up to Blake Fisher and Cam Robinson, maybe throwing Trent Brown. Maybe he'll compete for a job. But he, at least if you go by how they lined up during mini camps and OTAs, he's not the top options at tackle, the top two options at tackle. While the list makes sense because they're picking offensive linemen, I am more inclined, and I don't know if they use coaches, I'm more inclined to insert Nick Caley and Popovich as my two most important non-CJ Stroud Texans. Those guys have to be good. And they need to be good from the jump. I guess it's more about us as opposed to the team, to instill some confidence in that the decisions that were made were correct. Like, I get getting rid of Bobby Slowick. It wasn't working. There were some concerns about his scheme overall and the lack of adjustments to the issues the team had picking up pressures and just protecting their quarterback in general. So you want to make the move, I get it. You want to get rid of Strouser and bring in and elevate Popovich, I get it. But you got to be right. You can't have your head coach be wrong on your OC and your O-line coach twice in a matter of three seasons. This isn't a point to question whether D'Amico Ryans is on solid footing or not. Of course he is. But he needs to get it right. He made the move after, you would say, missing on Bobby Slowick, certainly when we consider year two. And the Strouser thing was in question, or Strouser. That was in question kind of from the jump because he didn't really work in a scheme that would suit a Slowick offense. He was ill-suited to coach what they needed him to coach from all the initial comments about him, and you got the results of it. So you got to be right. You can't miss out on an O-line coach and a OC two times. Attitude. You can't be too attitude on misses. So that's got to get worked out. Look, you want to call your defense. You got Mac Burke as your lieutenant. Cool. We trust you to do that. You've done a good job building that defense. Now you got to find a way to be right in the spot that isn't your expertise. And he's trusting a first-time play caller and a guy who has worked as a O-line coach or an assistant O-line coach under some names. Like he was in New England. Certainly that's a connection with Caserio. So there's always something it feels like when you start to, and Caley as well. There always feels like there's something of a connection And that's how coaching works. You rarely see a guy hire someone he's never worked with or doesn't have an in on. So the Texans continue that trend, and he's got a hit on this one. Or then the questions, and maybe they would be unfounded, about CJ will grow. Because right now, it's a lot of the guys calling the plays or the guys putting the O-line in spots for wrong. You have another year of your quarterback underperforming, and then people will start to question whether you made the right choice. I won't say that because I don't know if anyone's going to say Bryce Young was the right choice, but they'll start to question whether your guy is worth a potential contract that he's going to ask for. And one of those guys who falls into that category, but he already got his money, is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, in a couple recent quotes, is being a bit self-aware. He's saying, time is now for the Jags. And you would say, in some ways, the time is now for him. What is he on now? Is he on his third head coach? Urban Meyer thing, okay, Urban Meyer wasn't right for that spot. But you get Doug Peterson in, a former Super Bowl winner, and now you have another former Rams assistant, Liam Cohen, there. Trevor Lawrence I don't know if he can survive. I don't know if his reputation survives a third head coach failing, particularly when the Jags continue to do things to kind of put him in a spot to win. He's got the one postseason win credit, and that credit mostly goes to a Justin Herbert-led Chargers team who blew it after having a big first-half lead, and the Jaguars took advantage. But he said it's time to be taken seriously. This isn't a team. This is a team who's not been taken seriously in a while now. And he's right. No one takes the Jags seriously. Even in a division devoid of a real second-place team, everyone looks to the Colts, even without a real quarterback situation. Hell, no one thinks the Titans are going to be good, but at least they recently drafted the top pick at quarterback, so there's some hope there. You would think talent-wise, the Jags would be the natural team to challenge the Texans, partly because they've been able to pick so high over the last couple of years, and they traded up for Travis Hunter. But if we're being honest, I don't trust Liam Cohen. I don't think much of the Jags, and I've been pretty strong on my non-belief in Trevor Lawrence. So as much as the Texans have their questions, the Jags are the one where if their quarterback doesn't play well this year, the noise gets very loud for him. And then we're talking bust. I think he's one non-productive season away from that being the word used around him, and some of the priors people have had about him, about how he was great at Clemson. That stuff starts to fall away. Right now, Trevor Lawrence is in a spot where everyone else can get blamed. It can't happen with the third head coach. He's got to figure it out. So I think the Texans are in a great spot. This division is not one where they have to worry too much about being challenged. The question for them is, can they bridge the gap between division winner in the AFC South and real contender? And as much as the offensive line is the breaking point one way or the other for them, I think their coaching on the offensive side of the ball needs to catch an upgrade as well. And that'll be up to Nick Haley and Cole Popovich. All right, we'll go to break with that. All that being said, when I hear the names Cam Robinson and Blake Fisher, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. It's like when a Cowboy fan hears, what's the player on your roster that you hear that name and you know he has to be important, but you don't like it. What makes you nervous on the Cowboys roster?
Well, there's really two, like Terrence Steele and Tyler Guyton.
So two offensive linemen.
Yeah.
The same. Okay.
Yeah, well, we got Tyler Smith too, though. He's a all-pro.
Yeah. You've hit on some guys, but right. It, much like any other team who has some confidence in the quarterback, that can vary depending on what you feel about Dak and CJ. When you know you got offensive line questions, it's a little tough.
Right.
Trust me, I've been rooting for a team who can't put an offensive line together for almost the entirety of my life. So I understand when you think you might have a pretty good one at quarterback and your offensive line is always a question mark. And the Texans are probably a good offensive line away. Hell, even an average one away from being an actual contender. I don't know if I'll say that about the Cowboys.
They're making the playoffs this year. I'll say that.
So you think the Commanders are falling off, or three teams out of that division are making the playoffs?
I think three teams, but yeah, I think the Commanders are going to be, like, instead of 12-5, like 10-7 maybe.
Got it. Yeah, you know what? The Bears can knock down a Hail Mary. They don't go to, they don't win as many games as they did last year. So thin margins, and that was the thinnest in that game. Okay, we'll go to break with that. Once again, the number 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I did allude to an injury in Philly. We'll get to that. And another injury for a team. This is the Eagles. Excuse me, the Philly, not the Phillies. I just named everyone except the Flyers and not the right team. It's the Sixers. They have another injury. Paul George banged up again. And Daryl Morey leaning on older players. Look at that. Another one banged up. So we'll get to that in a little bit. And we'll hear from, well, we'll read some words from Christian Walker. He's very complimentary of Jose Altuve and why Jose Altuve is the backbone of the Houston Astros. So we'll get to that when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I was listening to a clip during the break. It was the ESPN crew talking about how Jaden Daniels, speaking of the Commanders, could win the MVP. And they mentioned Debo, they mentioned Laremy Tunsil, they mentioned Josh Connerly, or a rookie tackle that they chose. If you just swap out Texans' names for Commanders' names, it's exact same conversation I was had last offseason about C.J. Stroud. They're going to be even better. They got Stephon Diggs. They brought in Joe Mixon. I don't know if they were putting Blake Fisher in the same category as Josh Connerly, because Connerly, I guess, was a first-round pick. But it was all the same stuff. New receiver, new weapons, Laremy Tunsil could win the MVP. And, of course, we saw that best-laid plans don't always work out. So we'll see if that happens for the Commanders. I would bet that there's a regression before I say MVP. I'm just going to lean into the probabilities there and suggest that the Commanders aren't as good as they were last year. And maybe not that Jaden Daniels will be bad, just that things won't work out the same way for him and that team. And maybe they want to get Terry McLaurin signed too. That might help because we've seen, even though Joe Burrow and the Bengals got it going later, we've seen what guys holding out can do to your effectiveness early. And your young quarterback doesn't need his best receiver holding out if it comes to that. And by the way, how much does Debo actually have left? There's a reason the 49ers were more than fine saying goodbye to him. We'll see if Debo is still an actual threat on the field as opposed to just being a name. Okay, so we'll get into the Christian Walker thing in a little bit here, but I was reminded about this because we talked a lot, Sean and I, this summer, about how the NBA is getting new broadcast partners. NBC is back. Not new, but they'll be back. And, you know, Amazon's getting into the NBA game. So they hired Kevin Harlan. Now, AJ, you know Kevin Harlan. You've heard of him. But do you remember the NBA on NBC?
Not watching it. I think the last year of it was like 05. I was like two, almost three then.
Okay.
So I don't remember.
So you've had the experience as a thinking adult of Kevin Harlan calling NBA games.
Oh, for sure.
You don't really have that experience listening and watching NBC. It's the Jordan era, pretty much what it was.
Right.
When Jordan became the preeminent figure in the NBA, that was when the NBC had the finals. That's when they were the big dog when it came to NBA basketball. So you may have heard this song you're about to play, but maybe you don't have the nostalgia for it that I do. So I'm going to have you play the song and listen to it and have everyone else listen to it. And then I'm going to ask you a question about what's a bigger deal? Play the song. Anyone of a certain age knows what this means, knows what this is, although you may not know the name and who made it. This is called Round Ball Rock. It is a song created by John Tesh. It is a song that was used by NBC. It wasn't owned by NBC. It was owned by John Tesh. So they had to negotiate with John Tesh, and they did a whole commercial. John Tesh playing the song on a piano. So we know the the theme song to the NBA on NBC is back. And I play the song again, not just because I love it, not because I'm getting hit in the feels, as people would say. I'm using this to pose the question to AJ, who doesn't have the same vibes I have with this song, because he didn't grow up with it. But you have grown up with Kevin Harlan and all he does to call NBA games, and he does a great job. What's the bigger acquisition, AJ?
Out of NBC.
NBC getting this song?
Uh-huh.
Or Amazon getting Kevin Harlan to sign on to call their games?
Ooh.
In your eyes. Now, you hear the song in the crescendo. As I said, you didn't get to hear this music introed when Jordan is about to step on the floor, when it's Hakeem versus Patrick Ewing or Shaq in the finals. You don't have that. But you can just listen to the song. You've heard theme songs for college football on ESPN,
right.
CBS, SEC on CBS. You've heard them all. So this one is at the top, one of the tops at the list, at least for me, at the top of my list for sports theme songs.
Right.
But Kevin Harlan's Kevin Harlan.
That's true. That is true. Although I didn't, grow up watching NBA and NBC, I've heard the song.
The song quite a bit. It's been around forever.
I go with the song.
Think it's a bigger acquisition of Kevin Harlan?
I think a little bit. I love Kevin Harlan, though. I think he's better than even a person like Mike Breen.
I would agree.
I like Kevin Harlan most, in terms of play-by-play commentary. But I think this song is so synonymous with the NBA on NBC, so I probably lean towards the song a little bit. Mm. And we haven't seen Amazon Prime with basketball yet
that's
either.
True.
So
I mean, we know what Kevin Harlan's going to bring, but you're right. We don't know the presentation, how that's going to work. So AJ playing to the old heads. With the theme song, I mean, we'll see. Kevin Harlan's gonna be great. He always is, but he ain't this song. And it's back. We'll get that next year, this year when I say it, but next season at least with the NBA back on NBC. All right, we'll go to break with that. The number is 713-780-3776. So it's me and AJ till noon. We got an hour to go here. I don't know if Paul is healthy enough to come in, because he had to do the show with strep. Is he going to come in today? Do you know?
I think it's going to be like yesterday, like virtually.
Okay, so hopefully Paul's getting healthier, but he'll likely do the show from home. Yeah, keep that strep at home, Paul. Appreciate the conscientious nature to know that maybe we keep that away from the rest of us. But he appears to be ready to go, but he'll just be doing it from the comforts of his apartment. All right, we got an hour to go. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.